Inscribe new code. Step 4. Decide what to change. We're going to talk about change and how to do it. Have for reference the first exercise of Module 2, 4 Basic Inquiries for Storyline Evaluation, workbook page 2.4. Also have handy the exercise 15 Reflections to Understand Your Storyline, workbook page 2.10. A precept for this step. Part of the struggle for people to embrace change is because the methods to facilitate change are often contrary to how the mind and brain work. Despite being presented with ample evidence of how change will be beneficial, many people don't make changes even when they know it's in their own best interest. A brief recap to set the stage for step 4. Story is the narrative thread of our experience, not what literally happens, but what we make of what happens, what we tell ourselves and each other. This becomes what we remember. Wayne and Butch, my two best friends in high school, don't remember my senior prom, they remember theirs. The story tells most about the teller. You make your world fit into the story you're writing. Your story determines your future by predicting it. You write your story, then your story shapes you, determines your relationship with everything. Your present and future wellness story is yours to write. The number and quality of tomorrow's is in the balance. Identity. Your identity is not your behavior or habits. A habit is not a definition, it's a choice that gets repeated, a collection of repetitions. If you define yourself by what you do or by your habits, it will be harder to change. People become the stories of who they think they are. Remember the equation: belief drives behavior, behavior drives performance. Here are a couple of examples of basic storylines that show how a belief can lead to behaviors. A wish for approval or acceptance. It can lead to superachievement and benevolent acts, or it can lead to someone taking too many risks or refusing to take risks, or someone never saying no and promising too much. The need for harmony can power affiliation and social achievement. It can also make it difficult for people to stand up for themselves when they have a different opinion, or to disregard a need. Remember my client who said yes to everyone except himself and his self-care. Choice. For this step, decide what to change, we're going to evoke a principle and add an equation. The principle from step 2. In adulthood, you either create your reality or agree to it. For this, you have to recognize and own your wellness story. The equation we're going to add: event plus response equals outcome. E plus R equals O. Every outcome you experience in life is the result of how you respond to an event in your life. Achievement is an outcome. It's the result of responding in certain ways. It's not what happens to us, but our response to what happens to us that makes the difference. So, if you don't like the outcomes you're experiencing, you have two possible things to focus on, E or R, event or response. If you focus on E, the event, you can blame the event. Well, I'm sorry I'm late. The traffic on I-10 was terrible. Or my personal favorite, the assembly instructions didn't make sense. Or if I get really desperate, I think they left a piece out. Or you can focus on R, the response. You can change your response to the events to get the outcome you want. But be careful, to do the latter, you have to give up blaming and complaining. Once more, remember this essential principle for ownership of your wellness story. In adulthood, you either create or allow everything that happens to you. You worked out, so now you feel more energy and alertness. You didn't attend to marketing, and now your business is slumping. Choice is part of a mindset. The antithesis of choice is also a mindset with its own text. This is how the latter sounds. Fate, luck, circumstance, bad traffic, things just happen. I can't do it. The absence of the awareness of choice limits possibility. Here's a footnote. Whatever you're doing that you can't control is your addiction. You can be addicted to a substance, a behavior, a person, a process, a certain kind of relationship, to compromised results. Have you noticed that people specialize? They keep having the same success or the same problem. If the success is with money and business startups, we see a serial entrepreneur. If the problem is with relationships, it keeps getting repeated. Catherine Ann Porter wrote, "His mother rejected him. 1,000 women since have paid for that." Here's another notion to consider. What you seek is camouflaged in what you fear. Let me say that a different way. Show me an obstacle, and I'll show you a desire. For example, show me clutter, and I'll show you blocked energy that desires release. We always create the outside to match the inside. In other words, rather than strategizing to overcome or avoid or defeat an obstacle, simply consider not creating it. It's there when you create it. Consider using your energy to create something else instead. Another example. A man says, "I only fall for unavailable women." They're unavailable because they already have partners or are emotionally unavailable. Since he was afraid of women and intimacy, he needed an obstacle to be in place so he could allow himself awareness of his desire. There's a secret here. An obstacle is the unconscious mnemonic of desire. It reminds you of what you want, but makes it safe to want if you're afraid. I saw a cartoon of a dog straining at its leash, barking relentlessly at a cat, as if to say, "Just let me at him." Now, the cat wasn't too shabby and actually looked mean and was at least as big as the dog. All of a sudden, in the middle of a ferocious bark, the leash snapped, so the dog was free to go after the cat. He looked astonished, scared to death. He quickly ran back, grabbed the leash, and tied a triple knot. Then he could again safely strain at the leash and bark his ferocious, "Just let me at him." When you find yourself focusing on an obstacle, for example, "I can't find time to exercise," reflect on the underlying desire. When you're ready to consider that you create the obstacle, you're also ready to consider the possibility of not creating it. Imagine what it would be like not to create your obstacles. Let's look at what's involved in deciding to change. How the brain opposes change. This is crucial to understand when we engage change. Both our minds and brains automatically resist change. Findings from the cognitive sciences can inform how to change a personal or business story. Let's first look at how the brain opposes change and then how to use this information to facilitate your success. Remember, when you feel with one side of the brain and think on the other, you need a map. Since the brain has a mind of its own, we need to consider 10 precepts of how our brains work. Each of these, I believe, will guide you to write a new wellness story. The mechanisms are somewhat complex, but the principles are so simple they're almost elusive. 1. Change generates discomfort. Part of the reason for this resistance to change is due to a fact far more challenging than just getting someone to decide to do things differently. Any attempt to modify behavior and habits requires an actual rewiring of the brain. Activities that we've repeated that have become habits are hardwired into the brain. Neuronal pathways and neural nets, the highways and villages in our brain, have become etched by repeated habits to create efficient operation and to make routine behaviors easy. We don't have to think about how we drive to work each day the same way, Because of this default mode, we can think about other things or listen to a book. This default mode is also very energy efficient because the brain is freed up to do other things. The brain is amazingly adaptive. It's made routine behaviors energy efficient by creating hardwiring and growing new neurons for that purpose. When these habits are confronted and have to change, the basal ganglia in the midbrain where the automatic pilots are get disrupted. We feel discomfort. The prefrontal cortex, the thinking brain, has to get busy with more energy and attention to process this thinking. So it's work to change. The natural inclination is to resist the stress of change and to preserve the default habit. The brain naturally resists change. To hardwire behavior saves energy, so it opposes what's been adaptive from an evolutionary sense. The promise of change is to develop a new, better default mode. The brain just doesn't know that yet, so our minds have to lead the way. Some remarkable new research shows that consistently repeating new experiences even alters gene expression. Ray Kurzweil said, "Civilization advances by extending the number of important operations which we can perform without thinking about them." 2. Change creates dissonance. Couple this brain inclination to keep doing the same efficient routine with the mind's inclination to see what we expect to see. We see what we expect, what our radar has been coded for. We do this by screening information based on expectation as validation. In fact, when people don't see what they expect to see, the brain's error detection mechanism reads as if something's wrong. It's located right next to the emotional center of the brain, and you can never ignore your next-door neighbors. The brain has an innate capacity to detect what neuroscientists call errors, the differences between expectation and perceived actuality. It registers as a sense that something's not quite right. At times, it can be abrupt and explicit. Remember, for example, the experience of absent-mindedly going to the refrigerator and getting a drink of milk to abruptly discover when you took a sip that it was orange juice. When this happens, neural firings disrupt expected flow and use brain energy. This error detection signal that something is wrong when routine behavior changes means that we have to take this coupling into account when guiding and strategizing about change. That something doesn't feel comfortable in the beginning is not an indication to stop. You have to leave your comfort zone in order to change. The good news, the brain contains neural machinery in this medial frontal cortex to recognize and to correct errors, to optimize behavior. This means that these frontal neurons also become active after negative feedback and diminished reward. So it also responds to mistakes. Now, this is great if we remember to discern whether it's a mistake or a neural response and printout to change itself. 3. The brain is a prediction machine. Let's do a brief exercise. Let me tell you some numbers. 1, 2, 4, 5, 7, and 8. What's missing? Often the answer is 3 and 6, sometimes multiples of 3. Consider this. Nothing's missing. I gave you a complete list of 6 numbers. Everything that's there is there. What's missing, if you thought it was, is inside your head, informed by a pattern of expectation. This is huge in writing a new story. Sometimes you have to outsmart your brain. When anything recurs 2 times in a row, the brain predicts a 3rd repetition. A stock goes up 2 quarters in a row, so the brain predicts that a 3rd rise will follow. Extrapolation has been called the most common mistake in investing, when we predict the future based on the past. J. Paul Getty said that there are three key elements to getting rich. Get up early, work hard, find oil. You can see how brain prediction of pattern is also the basis of many jokes, listing two things, then a third non sequitur, setup, setup, payoff. The human brain automatically imposes patterns and predictions on repeated events. This makes it a challenge to override both emotion and brain patterns to make wise and balanced decisions. So we have to be sure we predict or envision the right things. 4. Behavioral reinforcements can backfire. Consider this. You're the COO, Chief Operating Officer, of a company determining a policy about employees being on time. Which works better, threats or reinforcements? The answer, neither. Both are likely to backfire. Studies show two things. Threats work short-term but draw attention away from work and back to the problem that created the behavior. And recognition for someone being on time actually raises anxiety and reinforces the neural patterns connected with lateness. We assume people will receive information about change and use it to better themselves. Not so, says the brain. In fact, being told what to do results in an innate opposition. The brain's natural homeostasis says, avoid change. When people, either in corporations or children and families, aren't producing, the companies or the parents usually resort to rewards or punishment. A carrot or a stick. Setting goals for someone undermines intrinsic motivation. This misses what are the most basic psychological motivations: autonomy, relatedness, and competence. Effectiveness in what we do is the most important factor in determining what we do and how we do it. Number 5 for how the brain opposes change. Motivation is not essential. Someone does not have to be motivated to do something, and someone may not generate motivation until setting a goal. An action can generate its own motivation. Many of the professional athletes I've worked with get up in the morning and go to the gym, but they aren't motivated to do so. They just do it. Sometime during the course of the workout, perhaps late into it, they become motivated. Or they may just do the workout because they know it's the thing to do in order to do what's next. Motivation is not essential, but a plan and sticking to it are. Number 6. Emotion change brain functioning. Anxiety or fear shifts someone into a survival mode that prevents fluid learning and understanding. The alarm signals of fear, anxiety, anger, or even irritability and impatience shanghai the attention of the frontal lobes, causing them to forfeit their optimum functioning. When emotions are triggered, brain chemicals are released that prompt toward action and away from creativity and assessing knowledge. This is why self-talk is limited. Change your thoughts to change your behavior may work until emotion gets activated. Then, as soon as emotion is triggered, reason runs and logic leaves. Threat leads to adrenaline release, which causes the stress chemical cortisol to be released, and this shifts function away from the forebrain, away from reason and logic. A classic study looked at the correlation of reward and dopamine response. The assumption has been that a desired behavior releases dopamine as a reward to reinforce the behavior. This isn't what happens. It's not the reward that causes the spike in dopamine, but the anticipation of the reward. When gamblers were studied, their excitement occurred as they approached and sat down at the slot machine. Their dopamine spike was shown to precede touching the machine, far before they were ever rewarded with the win. 7. Stimulation and performance. Stimulation, also known as a little bit of stress, enhances memory and learning. The things that excite us and provide a little bit of stress short-term enhance learning. The time window on this phenomenon is up to 2 hours. For longer periods of time, especially 4 hours or more, things go the other direction. Learning capacity declines. This means that with sustained stress, people make bad, emotionally charged decisions. The most important success strategy for many of the executives I've worked with is regulation of states of mind and management of emotion. Why is this important? Here's an assortment of findings and their sources. Stress contributes to 85% of all medical problems, Cooper Wellness Program. 70 to 80% of physician visits are stress-related, U.S. Public Health Survey. 52% of executives will die of diseases related to stress, Cooper Wellness Program. Stress is the number one reason behind sickness from work, G Publishing Survey. Stress undermines work productivity in 9 of 10 companies, Industrial Society Survey. 8. Closure to novelty. Studies show that even highly accomplished people close themselves to novelty as they get older. The major factor is not their age, but how long they've been doing a particular thing, such as in a particular business. People who stay in one place and one position get most entrenched. Another place I see this resistance in coaching is family succession of business. The patriarch founder passes the company he founded 32 years ago to his 2 children to own and manage. It's a challenge because everyone involved changes roles and relationships. These last 2 principles are huge for creating change. 9. Neurogenesis is the creation of new brain cells. 2 things above all others create neurogenesis: an enriched environment and exercise. An enriched environment of intellectual and emotional stimulation creates more complex brain structure. That's what coaches do with clients: co-create, stimulate thinking, challenge, story bust, nudge. The hippocampus is the part of the brain especially connected with 2 things, creativity and memory. Mice from an enriched environment have a 15% increase in their hippocampus cells. What's your guess about how much exercise increases cells? Physical exercise increased the number of cells in the hippocampus by almost 100%. Recently, these findings were replicated in humans, in London taxi drivers, and medical students at the University of Hamburg. Another finding: chronic stress impairs neurogenesis. 10. Neuroplasticity simply means that the brain remodels itself. This has been called the scientific revolution of our time. A region of the brain that originally had one job can be trained to perform another. The brain can reassign job descriptions of neurons. For example, for stroke patients who have a dysfunctional arm, the good arm is put in the sling so that they're forced to use the bad arm to do things like feeding and dressing. After 10 days of therapy, the patients regain significant use of an arm they thought would otherwise hang useless. The brains of these individuals recruited nearby brain neurons to perform the functions of the damaged ones. Another example: not only do zoning laws change in the brain, but the amount of cortical real estate that a body part claims can be changed depending on its use. For example, an expert Braille reader has significantly greater area handling the finger reading Braille than someone who doesn't. The good news here, we're not hardwired for life. With new experiences, new neuronal pathways and new neural networks are formed. New highways to new communities in your brain. Here's a summary of four principles to create your wellness story. Review these two exercises as we do this. The personal feedback assessment in the workbook, page 2.5, it's an adaptation of a 360-degree feedback business tool. This is designed to get external feedback. And secondly, reflections to understand your storyline, page 2.10. This is designed for internal feedback. So here are four principles of change that have powerful application in initially revising a wellness story. Some change occurs from the inside out, from examining and altering thoughts and feelings with the resultant change in behavior. Some change occurs from the outside in, from adapting to new experiences and new situations. Each individual usually has a favorite mode of how they work best, from the inside out or the outside in. Principle 1. Change begins with the recognition that you are the author of your own life and wellness story. Everything that happens, you either create or allow. Creating is easier to understand. Even that with indirect consequences, such as lack of exercise leading to lack of energy. The allow one is harder to own and sometimes elusive. You didn't say no, and your personal time is eroded. You didn't make an appointment with yourself to meditate or brainstorm or exercise, so it didn't happen. You either create or agree to everything that you do. In order to change, you first have to know what you want to change. That is, know what you do not want in your life and what you do want to create instead. Without this awareness, change in a meaningful and systematic way doesn't occur. Doing something differently, being a contrarian, is not change because it uses another person or idea as a point of reference to simply oppose it. Principle 2. If you want to change your life, first change your mind. How do you take an inventory of beliefs that are self-limiting and compromising if they're experienced as reality? Analogous to impressionist painting, each of your experiences is a dab of paint on a pontilus canvas. Only when you step back and view the entire picture do you recognize the points form a pattern of a particular segment of life and that the segments have their own unity. You create each experience, the patterns, and the composite image, and each are at a different level of awareness. Principle 3. You are always free to change your mind, always free to change your beliefs and core assumptions about who and what you are. Changing your mind not only alters your brain, but also transforms your life. But first you have to be aware. Prediction and expectation based on the past creates repetition, but based on the present and future creates possibilities. A belief system constructs an obstacle or an opportunity. Trying to change your past is not change, as your past will always be the way it was. Do this exercise with me. It may feel a little goofy, but I'd suggest to do it anyhow. Say out loud two things you can't do. For example, I can't finish this article I'm writing. I can't get the clutter out of my office. Out loud, two things you can't do. Now, restate each, but substitute won't for can't. I won't finish this article I'm writing. I won't get the clutter out of my office. So restate them, substitute won't for can't. Now, say this sentence out loud three times. I am always free to change my mind. Principle 4. You have to have a new story to be in before you can give up an old story. To change, you have to develop a life story that contains the storylines you want. To stop doing something is not complete change. A new story incorporates new behavior and beliefs. You have to embody, actually live, this story you want. Good theory is not enough. Abstaining from an old story, such as excessive drinking or eating, is a beginning. But you have to have that new story to be in before you can give up the old story. But you can't just remove all the old software because it's who you are. And much of it, most of it, has worked and works very well. What neuroscience teaches us about new learning to apply to your wellness story. 1. Everyone has prior knowledge that affects how they hear and respond to new information. Existing knowledge is the beginning of new knowledge. It's where new learning starts, simply because it can happen no other way. 2. The prior knowledge is physical, real, and persistent as neuronal pathways and neural networks in the brain. A fact or a belief is an anatomical reality in your brain. Behavior patterns from neuronal networks are a physical fact in the brain. They cannot be simply removed or easily overwritten by another fact. They do, however, atrophy with disuse as other networks take their place. But it's an inside job. A teacher can't present a simple explanation and remove an existing neural network from his student's brain. 3. If we ignore reality, it will get in the way of new information and change. This is why fixing doesn't work. You can't just list the 4 reasons that an idea is wrong and expect that it will rearrange someone's neural network. 4. Partly because it's complex and personal, and partly because it's subjective reality, someone is not always aware of their prior knowledge. Since prior knowledge is concrete, an actual pathway in the brain, you have to begin with where you are to solidly understand your story in order to see what you want to change. 5. When we write a new story and change our minds, we change our brains. Some NASA astronauts did a training experiment in which they had headgear with a visual apparatus that reversed images. Up was down, down was up, consistently for 24 hours a day. So they had to learn to adjust everything they did, to move about very carefully and consciously reverse everything. Then about day 25, they each noticed something remarkable. Their brains automatically made the adjustment. They didn't have to anymore. Their brains had developed new neural pathways. Another group of astronauts in the headgear, however, were given a day off, out of the helmets, at day 15. When they put their headgear back on, it took them 25 days from that point on to make the adjustments. This emphasizes the role of consistency in change. 6. Listen to your intuition. You're always hearing answers, it's just that the questions may not be clear yet. The wisest of sages and old-time country doctors reside inside you and generate the text of your new story. Listen carefully. 7. Give attention to a new experience or a new way of doing things consistently and repetitively. A series of small, specific steps, strategically planned, is more effective than a one-time intensive training, unless there are follow-up programs. Some penguins who wanted to learn to fly got together and hired a coach. They went to an all-day seminar. They set SMART goals, visualized, wrote affirmations. After a few hours of intensive work, one penguin flew a short distance. Others were encouraged. Eventually, by the end of the day, they were each flying around the room. When the seminar was over, they left and walked home. Change is a process, not an event. This is a postscript on inverse wisdom. These are the highlights from an introduction to Outsmart Your Brain, an instruction manual, but adapted here for wellness. I came home from college after my freshman year and announced to my mom that I decided to major in psychology. We talked, she was excited for me. Then she mentioned that she'd made an A in her college psychology course. I said, "Oh, I didn't know that. You must have really enjoyed it and studied a lot." She said, "No, I just answered everything on the test the opposite of what I thought was right." Well, here's a list of 9 things that are the inverse of conventional wisdom in honor of my mom, who thought it was all opposite anyway. 1, burn your bridges. Make it impossible to go back to an old habit or way of being. If you decide to initiate an exercise or nutritional program, make it impossible in some way to postpone it. Create an uncomfortable scenario if you should slip back. Focus on the present without the limiting habit. Reward yourself for proceeding and not going back. And even if you skip a workout, you don't get to go to the mall during your exercise time. 2, do the opposite of what you would normally do when you're afraid, worried, anxious, uncomfortable, or stuck. If you're uncomfortable with something that's good for you, do more of it. Embrace it. You have to jump in the water because you can't learn to swim on paper. 3, obstacles reveal desires. Again, show me an obstacle and I'll show you a desire. Instead of figuring out a way to sidestep, overcome, or go around the obstacle, consider instead not creating it. When you're ready to recognize that you create an obstacle, you're ready to consider the possibility of not creating it. 4, discomfort can be a sign of progress. Moving beyond your comfort zone is necessary for progress. Comfortable is not a place you begin, but it's a place where you can arrive. Moving from a comfort zone is necessary in order to proceed. 5, lean into the unknown. If you wonder whether you can write and sell a book because you've never done it before, lean into the action of doing it. If you think you're too old to do something, like have an exercise program for the first time, you'll be right. You can tiptoe through life very carefully and arrive safely at death. 6, don't believe every thought you have. I'll never be able to get in really good shape. Thoughts lie a lot. They're like my Uncle Ted. Rest his soul, or I'd have to use another example. You don't have to believe every thought that crosses your mind. You're not even stuck with the brain you have. You can make it better. And remember Vincent van Gogh's sage advice. If you hear a voice say, "I'm not a painter," then by all means paint. That voice will be silenced. 7, you do not attract what you want. You create what you focus on. Cue your radar for early recognition. Schedule what you need to do to take care of yourself. 8, you only see what you believe. I'll say that again. Some things have to be believed in order to be seen. And when you change the way you look at things, the things you look at change. This fact comes from quantum physics and the process of observing quarks. In quantum mechanics, as well as in the brain, the question you ask influences the outcome you see. 9, believe in someone, and he or she will show you why you do. Neuroscience has demonstrated that authentic belief in someone activates that person's brain to create a state of mind that transcends usual thinking and performance. That person can be you. Thank you.